As Paul said in his Ephesian letter, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among you the unsearchable riches of Christ." I'm grateful for your confidence in asking me to come have a part in this gospel meeting. Appreciate all the work that you've been doing to make preparations for it. I've been charged to preach the word and am committed to doing that to the best of my ability. Hope that you'll plan to come, bring your Bible, and be present for every service of this meeting and invite others to come and be with us. I'm an admirer of your preacher. Steve's a good friend of mine and appreciate him and his good family. Good to be with them. Glad you're here and I'm pleased to be with you. Invite you to get your Bible and come with me back to the period of the divided kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 12 as a basis for our study. I'll begin our reading with verse 26, where Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you may recall how the Lord's people were not at liberty to worship God at just any place they chose. In fact, in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 6, the Bible says, "At the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in." That place, according to 1 Kings 11 and verse 36, was Jerusalem, the city which I've chosen me to put my name there. But now notice where Jeroboam, king of Israel, was successful in convincing the Lord's people that it was too much for them to go up to Jerusalem to worship. And so he changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan or Bethel. In addition to that, he instituted idolatrous worship. He made two calves of gold. And the Bible says, "This thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan." I got to thinking about that story, how Jeroboam said, "It is too much for you." I thought it'd be a good question for you and I to ask ourselves. Is it too much for you? I'd like for us to answer that in a number of different areas today. You ask yourself that question as I ask myself. Is it too much for you? First of all, is it too much for you to talk to God daily? I'm afraid that sometimes we may use prayer like we would 911, only in time of emergency. But yet the Bible teaches the great privilege of prayer and the fact that you and I ought to talk to God on a daily basis. In Matthew 6 and verse 11, in the model prayer, Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." If that teaches anything, it teaches daily prayer. In Luke 18 and verse 1, the Lord spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul penned these words, "Pray without ceasing." I can't think of a finer example of that than Daniel of old, who, when prayer was against the law, with his window open toward Jerusalem, prayed three times a day as he did aforetime. Daniel 6 and in verse 10. If you'd been Daniel, would you have prayed to God daily as he did, or would you have thought, "It's too much for me to do that"? In Psalm 55 and verse 17, I like the attitude of the psalmist when he uttered, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Will God hear my voice at evening and morning and at noon? Or is it too much for me to pray? Paul said, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be so anxious. Don't worry so much. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4 and verse 6. How about worrying less and praying more? Or is it too much for you? Let me ask us another question along this line, and that is it too much for you to read your Bible daily? The Scriptures put a lot of emphasis on reading and study. In fact, Paul told a young preacher in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12, till I come, give attendance to reading. In Revelation 1 and verse 3, John said, blessed is he that readeth. Remember when Paul wrote the church at Ephesus? In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, he said, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You wonder why it is that some people have so little understanding of this book? Could it be that they think it's too much for them to read so as to understand? Writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul said, study, that is, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many times this book is wrongly divided because folks get to thinking it's too much for them to study so as to rightly divide it. Remember the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11? They were said to be a people of nobility, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures monthly. Right? Did I miss something? Let me try that again. They searched the Scriptures weekly. That would have been often enough, wouldn't it? The Bible says they search the Scriptures daily. That's impressive, isn't it? The Bible calls upon me as a child of God to be a growing and strong Christian. Peter said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. And Paul penned these words in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How can I expect to be the growing, strong Christian the Lord wants me to be if I think it's too much for me to feed upon His Word, which is so vital to my growth and strength? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2. Is it too much for you to read your Bible every day? But again, is it too much for you to attend all the services of the Lord's church faithfully? As you pick up your Bible and read in the Old Testament, you find the Lord's always called His people together. For example, in Deuteronomy 16:16, all the males were required to assemble in Jerusalem for three outstanding feasts: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But also when you come to the New Testament, you find that the Lord has called His people together in the church. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was first established, we're impressed with the fact that in verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. If you'd been a member of the church at Jerusalem, would you have continued daily in the temple, or would it have been too much for you to do that? Also in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The church had a place where brethren assembled together. Would you have been found assembling together at that place, or would it have been too much for you? In Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, if you'd been a member of the church at Troas, and the disciples had come together to break bread, would you have been there, or would it have been too much for you? The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Notice the word is not assembly, L-Y, but assembling, I-N-G. There's a difference. Assembly would be one occasion in which the people come together, like the Sunday morning assembly. But assembling takes in every time we come together. It's a continuous activity. And so whenever the Lord's people come together, I'm expected to be there. Is it too much for you to attend the services of the church faithfully? Is it too much for you to come to Bible study on Sunday morning or Wednesday night? Is it too much for you to assemble on Sunday night? When a gospel meeting comes around, is it too much for you to attend through the week, Monday through Friday? You'll have to answer that for yourself, and I'll answer that for myself. Is it too much for you? I'm not insensitive to the fact that there are those who suffer with infirmities of the flesh and can't be present for all the services like they would desire. I'm not talking about that. But I'm asking those of us who are able and have the opportunity, is it too much for us to be at every service? You know, it's not too much for some to attend all of the sporting events of their children. Maybe when it's basketball season, they're at every practice and they're at every game. And when they're involved in the band, they're at every concert and every performance. And when it comes to work, we're at every responsibility that we have, unless we're just so sick that we can't do that. But then we allow a little ache or pain or a hangnail to come along and keep us away from the Lord's service because we think it's too much for us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Lord said, "But seek ye first," that is before everything else, "the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We need to learn that, and we need to put that into practice. Let me ask us another question. Is it too much for you to give as you've been prospered? The Lord's given us work to do, and that work requires funds, and those funds come from our collection upon the first day of the week. When Paul gave order to the church at Corinth, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him," 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Our giving is in proportion to our prospering. The more we prosper, the more we give. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20, 35. And you remember the words of our Lord in Luke 6, 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be given unto you." In the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, the Lord's people were guilty of theft. Can you imagine God's people stealing? You know who they were robbing? God Himself. Did you know you could be guilty of robbing God? How'd they do that? By not giving as He prescribed. Under that dispensation, they were required to give 10%, to tithe. They weren't bringing the tithes or the offerings into the house of God. And the question that was asked, "Will a man rob God?" And God said, "You've robbed me." And He challenged them to bring in the tithes and the offerings to give as prescribed in the law and put forth a little challenge. "Prove me and see whether I'll open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive." You can't begin to outgive God. We give in lots of ways. There may be those that contribute to various charities, different organizations. But I suggest to you the greatest institution you can ever support is the church of our Lord, the blood-bought body of Christ. Acts 29, verse 28. The greatest work you can support is the work of our Lord. And we ought to be liberal in our giving. Giving bountifully. Giving cheerfully. "For God loveth the cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. He used some agricultural terms to teach a giving lesson. Just like when you sow your seed, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And that's how it is with reference to our giving. Is it too much for you to give as the Bible teaches? To give weekly, that is upon the first day of the week. To give as you've been prospered, to give as you purpose in your heart, to give cheerfully and to give bountifully. Let me ask us another question. Is it too much for you to supply your part? Ephesians chapter 4 teaches that you have a vital part in the local church. In verse 16, Paul said, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Would you like to see this church grow and be edified, be built up? You're vital to that. You have a part to supply. Are you supplying it? Or is it too much for you? Suppose that my foot got to thinking, "It's too much for me to be a foot today. I'm going to not supply that part." See how well you get along. It'd cripple you, wouldn't it? Suppose your right arm decided just to quit working. Your left arm's going to have to work overtime to do not just its part, but the part of the right. Think what it does to the body of Christ when there are members who just decide, "I'm not going to do my part today." We'd like to encourage you to supply your part. We read of an impressive woman in the book of Mark chapter 14 and verse 8 who wrought a good work on the Lord, and there were those who were critical of her. The Lord commended her and said, "She hath done what she could." What a great compliment paid to that woman. And wouldn't it be great if it could be said of you and of I, "She hath done, he hath done what he could." Some may think, because I can't do what Brother Song Leader does, I'm not going to do anything. Or because I can't do what Brother Preacher does, or I can't do what someone else can do, then I'm not going to do anything. The Lord doesn't expect me to do what somebody else may or may not be able to do. He doesn't expect me to do more than I can do. But he won't accept any less, will he? Sometimes we short ourselves when it comes to doing what we can do. How about when it comes to things that need to be done around the building? You supply your part. I don't know how that's done here, but a lot of places, when it comes to the cleaning of the building, that's done kind of on a volunteer basis. Sign up, maybe for a month. Would it be too much for you to do that? What about when it comes to the preparing of the communion? Would it be too much for you to take care of that? As the grass needs to be mowed, would it be too much for you to cut the grass? This winter, when there was snow that needed to be shoveled, would it be too much for you to do that? We kindly expect to come in and the building to be neat and tidy and clean, and the parking lot in good fashion, and the walks clean, and somebody has to take care of those things. Would it be too much for you to help with that? What about when it comes to making announcements or leading singing, serving at the table, leading prayer? Would it be too much for you to take part in that way? To preach, to teach a Bible class? Think about the part that you can supply as a member of the body. Is it too much for you to do what you can as a vital member in helping the church to be what God would have her to be? But let me ask you another question. Is it too much for you to be given to hospitality? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 and in verse 13, be given to hospitality. Peter said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. 1 Peter 4:9. And upon enjoining brotherly love upon the Lord's people. He said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Hebrews 13:2. Hospitality is an extension of our love for one another. But I'm afraid that with some it's about become a forgotten practice. There's some good examples of it in the Old and New Testaments alike. Let me call just a couple to our attention. You remember Abraham and Sarah? One of the outstanding couples of the Old Testament. In Genesis 18, we find guests arriving at their tent door. In verse 2, the Bible says that when Abraham saw them, he ran to meet them. Would you have run to meet them, or would you have closed the tent door and hid? He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened in the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." Now, if you had been Sarah, and your husband had said, "Make ready quickly," how'd you have reacted to that? 1 Peter 3:6 says she obeyed, calling him Lord. What would you have called your husband? And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. What an excellent story. Think about that. You probably won't have to go out to a herd today and fetch a calf. But you'd do that if you needed to, wouldn't you? That's what he did. You probably won't have to make butter, churn butter. Some of you remember churning butter. I remember my grandmother showing me how they did that, having a churn, and that was done. Would you do that today in order to set food before guests? Isn't it amazing the lengths to which these people went to practice hospitality? And with every modern convenience, we get to thinking, it's just too much for me to practice hospitality. Let me give us another little example. You remember the woman of Shunem in 2 Kings chapter 4? It's a beautiful story. It concerns a great man of God by the name of Elisha. The Bible says of this woman, she constrained him to eat bread. Let me ask you how you think she did that. Did she say, "You wouldn't want to come over and eat with us, would you?" Hoping he'd say no. That's kind of like what some people do, isn't it? Or did she not want to take no for an answer? Urge him and kind of twist his arm. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, notice what she says to her husband, "I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." Suppose you'd been the husband of this great woman. Your wife says, "Let's add on a room." What would you have thought? What would you have said? Do you know the cost of building materials these days? Start counting the cost? Why, that's going to be too much. Here's a woman who recognized the needs of a man of God. And you have here your scriptural preacher's room. Right? A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. What else do you need? Place to sleep, place to study, light to see. Here is a couple who recognized the needs of a man of God and met those. And I'm grateful for the hospitality that has been shown to me this week. And Sister Montz, leaving her house to stay with her children,
giving me use of her place for the week. You can't beat that. I commend you for that. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me to make my stay a comfortable one. Appreciate that a great deal. Is it too much for you to practice hospitality as the Bible teaches? Let me ask us another question. Is it too much for you to visit? You know, in James 1 and verse 27, the Bible says that part of pure religion is to visit. Visit the fatherless. That's the orphan and the widow in their affliction. I'm impressed with the attitude that's displayed in the book of Acts 15 and verse 36. When Paul and Barnabas did some visiting, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren and see how they do." It may be we don't know how our brethren are doing because we think it's too much for us to go see how they do. One of the things that's going to separate a lot of people at the judgment is this very thing, visiting. The Lord said, "You visited me or you visited me not." They said, "When saw we thee?" or "When saw we thee not?" He said, "Inasmuch as you did it or you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren." And so to do for our brethren is to do for the Lord. To neglect our brethren is to neglect the Lord. Is it too much for you to visit? One of these days you may find yourself in need of a visit. And hopefully there won't be others who think it's too much for them. How about in another area? Is it too much for you to find lost sheep and bring them back home? The Lord's church is sent forth as the flock of God. Acts 20, 28. As a Christian, you're sheep. If you have familiarity with sheep, you know it's possible for them to wander off and get out of the fold, the pen, and they need to be found and brought home. It's a dangerous place out there. There are wolves abroad. And in Luke chapter 15, the Lord told the story of the lost sheep. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not say, 'I've got 99 others in the pen, why should I be concerned about that one?'" Right? No, he leaves the 99 and goes into the wilderness looking for the one until he finds it. When he finds it, he brings it home and he rejoices. It's a great occasion of rejoicing when a lost sheep is found and brought home. And there may be those among this number who've become unfaithful, that have drifted away, who need to be converted and restored. Galatians 6:1, James 5:19 and 20. Is it too much for you to show interest in their soul? This would be a good week to do that. To make you a list of some of the lost sheep and to let them know you've not forgotten about them. You're still interested in them. We'd like to see you come home. What can I do to be of help to you this week? Let me ask you another question. Is it too much for you to obey the gospel? The Bible points out the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey Him. Hebrews 5:9. But He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who obey not. Hebrews talks about the blessings. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 talks about the curse, punishment versus salvation. And so we have a choice. Will we choose to obey and be saved, or choose not to obey and be punished? Forever separated from the Lord. Would it be too much for you to hear the gospel, to believe it? To repent of your sins, to confess with your mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." To be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might be added to the church. Would it be too much for you to do that? Would it be too much for you to be faithful to death? In Revelation 2 and 10, the Lord said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Is it too much for you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Is it too much for you to deny yourself of ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Titus 2:11-14. It wasn't too much for God to give His only begotten Son. It wasn't too much for the Son to give Himself for you. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Aren't you glad and grateful it wasn't too much for them? May it never be too much for us to love, honor, and serve God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. And may we never consider what the Bible refers to as our reasonable service too much for us. You've been a good audience. I appreciate the way that you've listened. There may be one or more who's not yet obeyed the gospel. There's a fountain free. We bid you come drink. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've wandered astray. Won't you come home now as we stand and sing the song? There's a fountain.